happy to have meeting yesterday, but due to other matters happening in the parliamentary system, we have to cancel that. So the trade unions will be with them next Tuesday when we deal with the ICAT as well as the civilian secretary, but just to make alert members. In terms of our program for this week, today we're going to deal with program 1 and 2 of South African Police Services. Tomorrow we're going to deal with program 3 and 4, and then on Friday program 5 and DPCI. So just to indicate that to honourable members. I should also indicate to members that our budget vote during Parliament will be very early this year. It will be on the 21st, so that means we will have to finalise our report on these hearings this Friday. So there's really not a lot of time available to the committee to do their work properly, so we will really ask members to understand that we must meet on Friday, so I know there's constituency matters and other the local government, election registration and so on. And also the launching of campaigns in the next 2 weekends, but if members are available, we'll appreciate that. But it's just to indicate to members as well that all the input that we give during these hearings will be clear, so it's important. If you want to raise issues, raise it during the hearings, that we can include it in the report. Otherwise, we can't include it. If you don't raise the issue, it will not form part of the report. Honourable members, I'm first going to give an opportunity to the members of the Portfolio Committee to introduce themselves, and then I will give the Acting National Commissioner until 10 o'clock to introduce his delegation. No, not okay. Maybe best than that. Okay. Let's start with the Honourable Kinnabob.
My name is Andy Mugabe. I can help the committee by then.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Sandra Ali. It comes up here in Australia, member of the commission.
My name is Jerome Marquet, I'm a member of this group.
Thank you, honourable members. I just to also indicate that the following members offer the apologies. Honourable Imran Sheikh is in another meeting. Honourable Mula is in a promise today. And Honourable Ramaphosa is going to join us later. So that's just in terms of apologies. Acting National Commissioner, you're welcome to use your delegation.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I will take half an hour to introduce the first and long defense instead of the whole hour. Honourable Chair, the members with me Lieutenant General Cruiser, Lieutenant General Skelton, Lieutenant General Magdalena. I hope that they are showing who they are at the end of the list. Lieutenant General Mutiba, Lieutenant General Mokwena, he is the newly appointed Divisional Commissioner of Supply Chain Management. Lieutenant General Shetty, Lieutenant General Magnete, Lieutenant General Mutia, Lieutenant General Mukwananji, and Lieutenant General Zulu, who is the Divisional Commissioner for Defense, Lieutenant General Mashia, the newly appointed Divisional Commissioner of Visible Commission. We also have Major General Ngosi, the head of the internal body, Major General Kukune, the head crime register, Major General Mahatu, who is the head of organizational development, and the newly appointed head of strategic management, Major General Rang. This organization will do most of the questions today. That's the punishment for being appointed as the head of strategic management. Major General Gessi, the head of corporate communication. Major General Emishi, the head of marketing and life resources. Also with Brigadier Celebre, let me just go back. There are two Major Generals, General Tiret, who is the acting Divisional Commissioner of HR, Human Resource Management, and Major General Malsanchin, who is representing General Zanka. We are here today, but at the same time we had to be at the Select Committee. Lieutenant General Wayne is in that delegation. She is there together with the CFO, Lieutenant General Ramin Koshi, and the new appointed Deputy National Commissioner Commission, Lieutenant General Marcel Mola, who is in his capacity there as the Deputy National Commissioner, but also representing the province where he was employed and he is now recently. Major General Anne Poisson. He is the chief that you have. General Mawena is not with us. He unfortunately lost his mother in Kabo, so he is still on leave until Friday. So that's and obviously General Stein, who we can't be here without him. I think that's the delegation, unless I forgot someone, but that's who we are, and we're grateful to be here to be presenting on the annual report of this time.
Thank you very much. I think we should, I'm not going to ask Luis at Bacchus today, so I'll leave that. It's not easy to see. Maybe just to indicate to honourable members, just in terms of the document that's been made available to the members, there's the presentation we're going to get. There's also the research document that's made available. There was also a document yesterday talking to the presentation from SACS. So that's available to members in terms of interacting with SACS. So I just want to thank also the content advisor research for those documents. Thank you very much. So,
Honourable Chair, thank you very much. We have accordingly received the invite from us here before the Portfolio Committee to present to the Honourable Members the annual performance plan of the Department for the 2016-17 financial year. We tried our best to comply with the timelines for submission. By last Friday, we had sent through our presentation. I just want to sensitize the chair, as the chairperson already indicated. There is a presentation that was submitted. Now, you will have noticed in the presentation that we, for example, will present the finances, the budget on its own, and not as and when we present the program. So we will do the total presentation on the distribution of the budget in terms of all the programs. Thereafter, we will go into the plan per program. And in the plan per program, we have taken the liberty of not copying the plan as is. In terms of the table. So nothing is lost in as far as the plan is concerned. It was just for the purposes of making it more presentable. But the detail is still contained in the plan. We also said that we don't have much time at our disposal between today and Friday. Therefore, the approach that we will adopt from our side is that generally in strategic management, we present the first part of the presentation just to position the same in the approach that was adopted. Then generally, we will present the budget, and generally, we will then go into program one, and where there are issues, the team will be able to respond to such in the respective environment. So if that enjoys the approval of the chair, I will request that General Rand comments with the presentation.
Thank you very much for that. I think this is what is in the presentation, and then we'll decide in terms of the questions when we're going to do that, but there's a role there.
Thanks very much, Chair. Just a quick query is as to whether the actual complete books of the ATP and the company budgets at your table, according to that, is all I've only received the hybrid ones. So that would be useful to have as a larger reference, a more detailed reference.
We can confirm, Chair, that it was labeled in compliance with the system and timeline. On the 10th of March, it was labeled.
Chair, can I just request that the committee to the series follow up with the Prime Minister and the team of the schedule to the letters, please?
Yeah, I think that will be just the system is during the next few days. We'll ask the secretary in the next 10 minutes and see if they can just give us some copies. Thank you very much. But, thank you very much.
Maybe check with you. Do the honorable members have a copy of the plan itself? I thought it was made available. Okay. Thank you.
I'm just going to say that you have it in the next 15 minutes. So I think it's also online available. Yeah, on the same screen. Can you understand the text? Yes, sir. Okay, so go ahead.
Honourable Chair and honourable members of the committee, good morning from my side, and I want to say thank you for the opportunity to present this. It's my first time that I want to go through this exercise, but it's a privilege and honour for me to do this. As General Pascal indicated, the purpose of the presentation is from South African Police Service to communicate the annual performance plan for the financial year 2016-17. Chair, with the, I have a couple of extra copies of the presentation available if there's anyone that still needs a copy of the presentation. They can just raise their hands and we will distribute it. Unfortunately, as far as the books are concerned, they only had the two extra copies available. Just moving through the presentation, if you look at the content, what we are going to present today is, first of all, the first part of the, or the first section of the presentation is going to focus on the strategic management cycle. The process that we've gone through is the development of the auto-review strategic plan as well as the development of the annual performance plan. Secondly, we would like to recap on the establishment of the back-to-basic approach as to indicate what progress we've made, why we've done it, and what is the current status. We would also like to recap the South African organizational structure of the South African Police Service and just indicate the final structure that was adopted, implemented, as well as the relevant appointments that were made in terms of the structure. We're going to touch on the strategic objectives, and that's moving to section 5, that is where General Skinner will come into play just to assist me with the overview of the budget. From there, we will move to the detail of the plan, the annual performance plan for the financial programs. And as far as the programs are concerned, we're going to touch on the purpose of the programs, the strategic objective statements, the performance indicators and targets. We're going to look at, we would also like to brief the committee on what was removed in terms of the content of the plan and where we've got to with that. We would like to explain the updates to the strategic plan for 2014 to 2019, and then we would also like some to highlight the emerging priorities that we've identified through the consultation process. So we believe that is the approach that we're going to follow and the content of the specific presentation. Starting with the strategic management cycle, see, I think it's not necessary for SAS to explain to the committee what how the strategic management cycle works, but we'll just highlight where we currently are and the processes that we've gone through. In terms of the development of the annual performance plan, it's important to indicate that there's a couple of issues that inform the development of the plan and things that we have to take into consideration in development. Starting at the central to everything is the National Development Plan that includes the Vision 2030. We look at medium-term strategic framework of government. We look at the priorities that's been identified by the JSPS cluster. Then, on top there, we start with the strategic plan of SAS, what is highlighted in terms of the constitutional mandate, strategic outcomes that's been identified for the period 2014 to 2019. We also go through a process where we analyze the stress and states and the state of the nation address to identify the specific issues that relate to the South African Police Service that needs to be included. We also go through the key ministerial priorities that's been identified by the Office of the Minister to identify which of those issues needs to be included in our plans. Also include the issues raised by the Portfolio Committee on Police with reference to the B-R-R, which is issues that we identified then and how we can address those specific issues going forward in terms of the plan. The overview of performance over the medium and short term, look at where we currently stand, how we progress, what performance we've achieved, what performance not, and what we specific actions that need to be implemented to address that. And then lastly, but I think also very important is our internal inputs, where we go through a consultation process in the organization to talk to management and identify specific priorities that needs to be included. And we have scheduled a number of sessions to go through that process internally to look at, as I indicated, your performance currently where we stand, as well as new emerging priorities that's been identified by the South African Police Service. Now, as far as the strategic management process is concerned, let's quickly recapping the starts normally, and I think we're all familiar with the process itself, where it starts with the development of the vision, the development of the mission that's already fixed. Then we've gone through a process in the previous financial year where we submitted the strategic plan of SAPS. Now that strategic plan is based on your what is happening in the external environment, your specific priorities that have been identified by the South African Police Service. We look at the internal profile of the organization, what issues needs to be addressed. We go through a detailed strategic SAPS analysis and choice. And the purpose of that exercise, as indicated there, is then to formulate a specific strategy based on detailed strategic analysis. Now, in the current financial year, in the second, we're going into the third year of the current strategic management cycle, and what we have to do is that go through the strategic management document that we have for the South African Police Service to determine if it's all relevant, what must be included, what must be amended and updated. Now, for the purpose of that exercise, going through to determine where we stand, is indicated in the first amber box. We basically gone through a performance reviews where we focused on specific financial programs to determine what progress has been made in terms of the objectives that have been set by the organization. Now, we've had meetings with all the relevant stakeholders within the organization, as we indicated there, just as some of the examples. We had meetings with our program key representatives. That's your detective service forensics, where we looked at the level of progress that we've made there. That happened in November and December and February. We had also had meetings with the National Support Services Forum, Program 1. That happened in December. So the purpose of that exercise, as I indicated there, was to run through a process where we done a performance overview to see where we stand, and we also start developing the situation analysis for the purpose of planning. Now, in the strategic plan, as far as the strategic plan is concerned, we had to make certain amendments to the strategic plan that we will highlight further in the presentation to ensure that it remains relevant as far as our mandate is concerned. We've also gone through the strategic planning processes and sessions. The first one is we had in November, 12th in November, and then we had one from the 1st to the 4th of March. And during those specific sessions, we had consultation with all the relevant divisions that are most of them are represented here today, and as well as the provinces, where we've gone through a detailed unpacking the plan itself to determine exactly what we need to focus on, to confirm the baselines that we achieved, as well as the targets that we get set for the organization as we've gone forward. And the last engagement that we had as far as that is concerned is on 16 or 18 March had what we refer to as a generals conference, where the Acting National Commissioner called all the generals, major generals, lieutenant generals in the South African Police Service together in Johannesburg, in the park, and the purpose of that exercise is to have a final consultation process before taking the document or before coming to the portfolio committee to ensure that as an organization we have consensus in terms of where we are going with the annual performance plan and which issues are specifically included. So if we look at the cycle itself, we've gone through that, we've looked at the review of the strategic plan where necessary. We've gone through the process where we've developed the annual performance plan, we tabled the annual performance plan, and we are basically there now. And the next step as we go forward is where we have to start with implementation. Now that actually started on the 1st of April in this current financial year. As an organization, we have to implement these priorities that we've identified, and we have to implement mechanisms to ensure that we are able to monitor and evaluate progress as we go along. We also have to make sure as an organization that we implement the necessary actions to achieve the objective that has been stated in that specific annual performance plan of SAS. So that in brief, just to take you through and show to you what we've done in terms of preparing for the current financial year as well as where we currently stand and we're going to ask how we're going to take it forward from here on. Then the next slide, Jay, talks to the implementation of the strategic direction and how we use the annual performance plan and the annual operational plans in the organization and how it filters through. I don't think it serves any purpose to have an annual performance plan for SAS that doesn't filter through to the organization at a lower level, because we're all aware of the fact that executing policing happens at station level, it happens at unit level, that's where we do policing. So how do we ensure that what we've identified in the NTP of SAS goes through to that level? As indicated in the diagram here, the annual performance plan for South African Police Service, that first red block there, is informed by, as I already explained to you, the National Development Plan, NTSA, the strategic plan of SAS. Now, we've already identified the objectives that we're going to focus on as an organization. We've identified the performance indicators that we are going to use to measure progress as we commence with implementation, and we've also identified the specific targets that we set. But we've already initiated the process where, on the next level, the divisions and the provinces are now required, and they're all finalizing their annual operational plans for the relevant divisions or business units. And their development, their plans are informed by the specific objectives that are being set by the South African Police Service in terms of the annual performance plan. That will then be followed by your cluster level, where we have annual operational plans that are being developed by the cluster commanders. And this is also informed, once again, by the direction that is set by National, that has been adopted by the Provincial Commissioner and has identified his own priorities added to that. And then lastly, the stations start with the development of their annual operational plans, where they take into consideration the strategic direction and the annual performance plan assets, as well as specific priorities that need to be identified on provincial level as well as at cluster level. Now, so that is the process in short that we follow to ensure that the strategy focuses through to the lowest level, and what happens at station level is guided by the strategic direction that is set by the organization. Now, just touching on the monitoring and evaluation process, is as soon as we start with implementation on a quarterly basis and semester annual basis, the organization needs to do performance assessment to see how we are progressing with the implementation. And getting that information is in a top-to-bottom-up approach, where information starts flowing up from station level, and for that purpose we use either manual systems, we use feedback reports, or we use systems depending on what we have available as part of the specific indicator is concerned. But as indicated, you'll see the information flows from station level up to the cluster level to the province back to national. And when it comes to this level, for the purpose of monitoring and evaluation, we go through the progress to determine whether we are achieving the targets, and if we are not achieving the targets, we need to initiate corrective action. If targets are achieved, we have to go through the process to identify your best practices and what is working for the organization to see how we can package that so that it can be rolled out to your other environments within the organization. Now, the establishment of the back-to-basic approach, Chair, we've been we went through an exercise where we briefed the committee on what the process or the back to basic approach is that was initiated by the acting national commissioner, but we would just like to highlight again to explain to the committee why it was necessary to do this and where we currently stand with this process. Now, in terms of the National Development Plan, it's clearly stated that personal safety is a human right, it's a necessary condition for human development, improve quality of life and enhance productivity. When communities do not feel safe and live in fear, the country's economic development and the people's well-being are affected. In 2030, and this is where we're going to, people living in South Africa feel safe at home, at school, and at work, and enjoy community life free of fear. Women walk freely in the streets and children play safely outside. The police service is a well-resourced, or the police service is well-resourced and a professional staffed by high-skilled officers who value their work, serve the community, safeguard lives and property without discrimination. Protect the peaceful against violence and respect the rights to equality and justice. That's quoted from the National Development Plan. Actually, I think it's necessary to mention that the whole approach that we are currently following is we would like to reach a stage, and I think we will be the first to say that we are not perfect yet. There's still work that needs to be done, and there's still things that we would like to review and relook and redesign. But we are moving towards a situation, or trying to move to a situation where if we ask a police official today in the street, what are you doing? Why are you here? What are you trying to do? That person must be able to say, but I'm implementing the Vision 2030, I'm working towards a specific issue. And they need to understand where they're going and why they're doing certain things. So that's why we are bringing back basics in terms of policing, bringing back basics in terms of planning to make sure whatever we as an organization develop and what we have available, that that filters through and people at the lowest level understand how they contribute to these processes. So the methodology that we applied is to determine, to initiate an active basics approach. First of all, we've gone through an in-depth analysis of the performance of the South African Police Service. Now basically, we had a look at the previous financial years, 2014-15 and 2015-16, where we analyzed the details in terms of the quarterly reports and the annual reports to see what progress we've made as an organization to achieve the objectives that's been set. Now, during this analysis, we've identified specific areas of persistent underperformance. And the problem is that these areas are directly linked to the prevention and combat and investigation of crime. Now, that is, as it says, stated in Section 205, that is our constitutional responsibility as an organization to ensure that there is effective prevention, combat and investigation of crime. Now, the problem that we were facing or still facing is that underperformance is basically jeopardizing our ability, likelihood of delivering on the requirements of outcome 3 as well. Now, we've also, it was unfortunately not limited to that, we've also identified in terms of the sport environment that there are also areas of underperformance that we need to address that, for example, related to employee health and wellness, the service terminations and those type of issues. So after we've gone through that analysis, I need to mention that the in-depth analysis that we conducted was done in consultation with management. That what we've done in terms of that, the consultation that took place was structured in terms of the National Fund Combating Board, the National Strategic Planning Sessions that we've used. We used the National Support Services Forum. We used the Detective Service Performance Reviews. The National Commission had meetings with the commanders in each province. We went to each one of the 9 provinces where we communicated the detail, where we explained to members the problems that we are facing, but we also put the solutions on the table to explain to them what exactly needs to happen to address this, and specifically during these sessions, the Acting National Commissioner focused on the issue of moving back to basics and making sure that police members on the ground are able to do the basic things of police and life. There was also informal engagement with members at all levels where we had visits to specific operations and support environments during, for instance, the festive season where we had the DNC for management interventions on cruiser which started during the festive season was operational in the Western Cape and those type of things. So in short, those are the mechanisms that we use during this process to make sure that we consult work members internally in the organization from the highest, from national level up to station level. We also looked at the 2014 Victims of Crime survey, where a number of issues were identified, including the following: your perception that the levels of violent crime, non-violent crime in the country have increased, with specific concerns that were raised when it comes to house breaking, house robbery and theft out of motor vehicles. The under-reporting of crime to stats indicating that violent crime was more likely to be reported than property-related crime. And proposing that the measurement of the extent of crime is important. Although highlighted a decrease in the number of respondents who felt safe when it was dark, the increased role of illegal drugs in driving up levels of property-related crimes, and then 57% of respondents indicating that they were satisfied with the service provided by the police in their area. Now that is, I do not think as an organization we can be happy with a figure that is indicated there, where it's just more than half of the people that were in contact with South African police service indicated that they are satisfied or were satisfied with the services that were rendered. Now, in terms of the specific area of underperformance that we've identified, basically it's linked to three financial programs. Program one that relates to administration includes the management of service terminations, that is a problematic area that we need to address, the provision of employee health and wellness, and incidents leading to civil claims against the SAPs. So as far as program one is concerned, these are three issues that we've identified that we need to focus on. And as I indicated, these were then labeled as areas of underperformance where we had to initiate specific intervention for recovery plans to get the organization back on track. Program 2, visible policing, there we identified the reported serious crimes against women and children, the recovery of stolen and lost state-owned firearms, stolen of vehicles, the violence of liquor confiscated as a result of police action, and the national and provincial crime awareness campaigns. In terms of Program 3, the detective service environment included the detection rate for the categories of crime as they are listed there, the serious contact crime dependent on police action, the crime against women and children, also the conviction rate that relates to women and children, crimes against women, the trial ready case records that relates to serious crimes dependent on police action, crimes against women, and also crimes against children. So that provides you with just a brief overview of the specific problems that we've identified during the initial analysis that we had, and we had to develop specific interventions to address this. So the next slide just provides you with a brief overview of the whole context of the back to basic approach, what we focus on and what are the cross-cutting issues that we would like to implement to make sure that the specific focus areas are effectively implemented. Now the Minister of Police and the Acting National Commissioner and Senior Management of SAPS identified the need for the introduction of a back-to-basics approach to policing. This approach focuses on every member of SAPS reverting to the established related framework, or simply put, doing the basics of policing properly and consistently. That's what we'd like to achieve, that people know exactly what they're supposed to do and do the right things right. Now, the back-to-basics approach focuses on six areas that we've identified here that we would like, that we focused on during the initiation of the approach. Now that includes enhanced visible police visibility, thorough and responsive investigation of all crime that's been reported, efficient utilization of resources in support of the investigation of crime, crime intelligence in support of proactive and reactive policing, targeted and full deployment of resources, and then also a collaborative, consultative approach to policing where we recognize the importance of community consultation and the role that communities play in the fight against crime. Now the transversal issues that we've identified that touch across all of these issues and they relate to all these issues are the following. Transformation of staff, including the demilitarization, professionalization, integrity and discipline. So these are key elements that are relevant to each one of these areas that we've identified. For example, the issue of discipline talks to police visibility, talks to investigation of crime, talks to deployment of resources, it talks to the collaborative approach that we would like to follow. Secondly, we have uncompromising compliance with the fundamental principles of police. that we understand as our minister, that we understand what we are supposed to do, and that we do those things right. And then lastly, the culture of performance management and accountability. I think that is key to success. Is we as we progress, we need to constantly sit and around the table and see how we are progressing. So how, not only as an organization in terms of achieving the targets, but also looking at individuals responsible for the process. Because organization is made up of individuals. They implement the strategy that we develop. They are responsible for policing. So if we want organizations to perform, we need to make sure that the individuals perform. So we must have a proper mechanism that we can monitor performance of both organizations and the individuals, and we have to ensure that there's proper accountability in the organization. So that briefly indicates to you the actions that was central or the fundamental issues associated with the Back to Basics approach, and we ultimately would like to move with this, with implementing this, move to a situation where we experience a reduced level of serious crime, increased detection rates and improved perceptions of safety, and ultimately a situation where people are and feel safe within South Africa. So the next step was, as we previously communicated, is after we've initiated the Back to Basics approach, the need was identified that we must implement the mechanism in the organization that will assist us with the maintenance and sustainability as far as it is concerned, and we have a mechanism or a capacity within staff that will facilitate processes to intervene in areas where we identify problems. Now for that purpose, following and as part of the Back to Basics approach, we moved to the next step was to establish a management intervention capacity within SAPS that is currently led by the DMC for Management Intervention for Cruiser. Now the purpose of this capacity within SAPS is first of all to ensure a professional, knowledge-based management of policing towards achieving outcomes and impact of the constitutional objectives of SAPS. Now the objectives that are being associated with that is to establish and maintain the SAPS police body of knowledge through research in SAPS, that we do proper research on, for instance, crime phenomena and other issues, that whatever or the way that we implement our policing is properly informed, was informed by proper research. Also like to determine non-compliance with the policing regulatory framework and poor policing performance. Now that will inform where we need to intervene. So we need to understand in organization, if we look at the organization as an entity, where are we not performing? Where are we not achieving our targets? And also, where is the non-compliance? So when we understand that, that we can initiate the necessary management interventions. To implement timely interventions to prevent or correct non-compliance or poor recent performance towards sustainable achieving the constitutional objectives of SAPS. Largely, the tangible outcomes that we currently have is that we've developed recovery plans that have targeted specific areas of underperformance. That was for the detective service, for visible policing and service termination. And then ultimately, we are now going through a process where we start analyzing after the end of the fourth quarter. Then we have to go through a process now where we have to start unpacking the organizational performance to see what was the impact of the specific actions that we implemented. Whether we can see a positive impact in terms of crime or as other internal issues that we've identified, for instance, your service termination processes. So the elements or the key fundamental principles of the management intervention is relates to, first of all, professionalism, knowledge-based management, the proper policing approach, interventions, outcomes and impact. Now what we mean with professionalism is back to basics quality dimension that is measured by addressing the needs and the expectations of the client, focusing on the code of conduct, police practice, and the policing body of knowledge. Now that basically what we are saying there is we need to do what the people expect us to do, and we need to be professional, but we also need to understand what we our mandates are and how we are supposed to conduct ourselves and what are the rules that guide us as police officials. Knowledge-based management, approaching policing and problem solving through proper research, planning, monitoring and evaluation. Whatever we do, the actions that we take is informed by proper analysis of the situation that we are facing and then also by proper research that we conduct to make sure that we have sufficient information to base our management decisions on that. We don't apply a principle of management by hope. If the meeting thinks and we hope that we're going to see an improvement, once we move towards a situation where our decision making within the organization is based on the relevant knowledge that we have available. The positioning approach, broadening the positional approach to policing by addressing the root causes of crime, an integrated, multifaceted and multidisciplinary approach. How do we police? It's necessary for us to look at the way we do policing, the policing models that we apply, to make sure that when we talk to policing and taking into account the different disciplines that we have in the organization, that we cannot afford as an organization to have a fragmented approach to policing. We have to make sure that we have used everything within the organization, all the resources, whether it's technology, whether it's intelligence, that all those resources that we utilize optimally in the fight against crime. Interventions, active and timely knowledge-based interventions to address policing problems which if left unattended will have a negative impact on the SAPS achieving its objective. The aim of this is when we identify the problems, that we intervene, empower and ensure sustainability. That's key to the whole process. We don't want a situation where management intervention goes and take over a specific scenario and manage it for a period of time, then move out and everything falls back again. We would like to make sure that where we intervene, that we establish proper capacity to deal with the future of that specific business unit to make sure that they're empowered to do their work and to sustain a certain level of professionalism. The last one, the related outcomes and impact, where we focus our input, action and outputs on achieving outcomes and the desired impact, that we, our responsibility is to ultimately create a situation where people are and feel safe. And what we need to do as an organization is to make sure whatever we have available, that we optimally utilizing and focus those resources on achieving that specific outcome. Now, that was just a brief on the short brief on the back to basics approach that we initiated and then followed that with the establishment of a management intervention capacity. The next portion of the presentation talks to the SAP organizational structure. We had a previous engagement with the committee where we briefed the committee on what we intend doing with the SAP organizational structure is concerned. Now, What is very important and what informed the whole process that we went through is we want to establish an organizational structure that is responsive to the current policing challenges and demands. Now for that purpose, we have to reorganize and strengthen our operational capacity in terms of core operational responsibilities, your policing environment and your crime detection environment. A simple example there is you will recall in the previous structure we had one DMC responsible for the total policing environment. And it was evident that that is just too much for a single person, even if it's at national level, because that's the core business of SAPS. And we have to make sure that we strengthen those environments, that we have sufficient capacity available at national, provincial, and station level, and cluster level to deal with those core responsibilities. Establishment is driven by the back to basic approach. I've already touched on that. We must move to a situation where each and every business unit in SAP understands their role within the organization. They understand their functions, what they're supposed to execute, and they need to understand how they fit into the bigger picture. They are part of a bigger puzzle. Where if you take that piece out or it's not working properly, it can have a negative impact on our total approach to policing. For instance, if I use the example of crime intelligence, where do they fit in? They are not sitting alone somewhere gathering intelligence. We need as an organization that intelligence that is gathered needs to filter through our proactive approach. It needs to filter through to our reactive approach. So those are that's the type of synergy that we want to establish an organization. Where does supply chain management fit in? Where does financial services fit in? Because if they don't function effectively, they impact on our ability to combat crime at the lowest levels. The development of organization-specific solutions to address policing demands, we've already touched on that, that whatever we do and the solutions that we develop, that they are properly researched and that we know that they're going to have an impact, that we do impact analysis to determine if these solutions are working or not. Initiate interventions to address areas of persistent underperformance and non-compliance, If there's a problem, intervene, fix, and make sure it has sustainability. And then continuous assessment of levels of performance and compliance. Now this structure here has been consulted, it's been approved, and the appointment of personnel has commenced. So the purpose of the next slide is just to, I know it's a little bit small, and you'll note, Chair, that this slide differs from one that we sent to the Portfolio Committee, because after it was sent to the Portfolio Committee, there were some changes, one of them moves to the structure, so we just made to redevelop the structure. You'll note that if we look at this, we have the National Commissioner, and the Acting National Commissioner, Lieutenant General Paslani, that is reporting or accountable to the Minister. The National Commissioner is supported by 5 Deputy National Commissioners. Now, the 5 Deputy National Commissioners, the first one is General Masemola, Deputy National Commissioner for Police, that was appointed on 1st of April. Now, he's currently in the Select Committee because he's still representing Limpopo Province. He was the Provincial Commissioner of Limpopo Province. The Deputy National Commissioner for Crime Detection, that position is currently vacant. Then we have General Nguyen as the NC for Human Resource Management. She's currently leading the delegation to the Select Committee. We have General Skinner for Asset and Legal Management, and we have General Cruiser for Management Intervention. These were the environments. General Masmola is supported by General Masia for Visible Policing. General Mawela for Operational Response Services. They are also in the Select Committee at the moment. And then General Sitoya for Protection and Security Services. Then we have the Crime Detection. We have General Cornwall as the Divisional Commissioner for Detectives, Forensic Services. We have General Manamela. She will be here when we deal with Program 3. And then Crime Intelligence is also currently vacant. And then Resource Management in Kenya, we have General Chia at the Tripcom for Personnel Management, General Kwanazi for Human Resource Development, and Human Resource Utilization currently vacant. They've been acting there in all the bit. Then we have General Skipper as responsible for supply chain with General Mokwena. Finance, that's General Kamikosi, that's currently attending the Select Committee. General Shea is responsible for Technology Management Services and General Mulepe, Legal and Policy Management. And lastly, General Cruiser, who's got the 3 regional commissioners, General Rahatbela for Region A, General Yetka for Region B, and General Motiba for Region C, and then the Divisional Commissioner for Research, Lieutenant General Zulu. And then we have the 9 provincial commissioners. That's Eastern Cape of Vinta, where the chair is also important to note that the 9 provincial commissioners are also currently in the Select Committee. We have General Vinta, Eastern Cape, Free State, Pente, Gauteng, General De Lange, KwaZulu-Natal, General Mbeki. Now, the photo is now currently vacant because of the move of General Masemola to the DC position. Mpumalanga, we have General Zuma. Northwest, we have General Motswenyani, General Zaburi for the Northern Cape, and General Dula for the Western Cape. And then you will note there's still 2 positions on this level. There is the Provincial Commissioner for County Intelligence, that is the structures and the content of that is currently being investigated. So that appointment has not yet been made. And then the National Head for Management Advisory Services is also currently vacant. And then last, moving away from the tax portion of the structure, we have the National Head for Director of Priority Crime Investigations in the MESA. That is also in his capacity accountable to the Minister of Police. So in short, those are the people that have been appointed in terms of the newly adopted structure. As indicated during the overview of the structure, there are 1 or 2 positions that are currently still vacant. As far as the strategic objectives of the organization is concerned, just a recap, the strategic objectives as it is reflected in the annual performance plan of SAPS and the strategic plan is basically into the 5 financial programs. So we have Program 1, Administration. Program 2 is Minimal Policing. Detective Services 3, Crime Intelligence 4, and Protection and Security Services Program 5. Now, so as we will be dealing with Program 1 and 2 today, you will note that all the divisional commissioners and heads of the program of the business units relevant to Program 1 and Program 2 is present here today. The other divisional commissioners will join us as we progress on the program in day 2 and 3. Now, program 1 is to regulate the overall management of the department to provide centralized support. Program 2 is your visual policing, is to discourage all crimes by providing a proactive and responsive policing service that will reduce levels of priority crimes. detectives to contribute to the successful prosecution of offenders by investigating, gathering and analyzing evidence, crime intelligence, focus on the gathering of crime intelligence in support of prevention, combat and investigation of crime, also collect, evaluate, analyze, coordinate and disseminate intelligence for the purpose of tactical, operational and strategic utilization, and they also need to supply intelligence products related to national strategic intelligence to NICO and to institute counterintelligence measures with SAPS, protection and security services, the strategic objective associated with the programs to minimize security violations by protecting foreign and local prominent people and securing your strategic interests. As far as the performance indicators are concerned, just a brief overview. In the previous two financial years, 2014-15, we had 98 indicators. That increased to 106, and after we've reviewed it, now we are on 97. Now, I just want to sensitize the committee members, because if you add what we revised and what we removed and what we added, you cannot start from 106 and subtract and add and get your answer, because some of these indicators were collapsed. You took three indicators and it's collapsed into one, or we took one and we designed three out of that. So, but in essence, we revised 25 of the indicators that are in the APT. We will briefly explain to you as we go along what we revised and why we did that. We removed 19 indicators. I think it's important to note now that indicators that are removed, the reason why they were removed is management is of the opinion that those indicators that we've identified do not belong on the level of annual performance plan. They are relevant. So they were removed or cascaded down to a divisional or a provincial annual operational plan. Because it belongs on the lower level, it's not relevant to the level that we said. They were not totally discarded, we just moved it to another level. And then we added 12 new indicators for performance measurement purposes. Chair, with your permission, I would then like to hand over to General Stifter to take us through the next part of the presentation.
Oh, thank you very much, General Arthur. I think that is first we're going to go to questions. There's a lot of, I think, principal issues we must take before we enter into the issue of questions. Thank you very much. I think from the domestic side, I think we welcome the fact in terms of the process approach and that it was consultation with the organization and also the timelines and the evaluation. That's very good. But maybe just a few comments from my side, and then I'll also ask other members to come in. In terms of the implementation of the NDP, we saw your reference points in terms of creating the strategy. But I would like to know if you included all the elements in chapter 12 of the NDP in terms of building safer communities. You touch here and there on some of the issues, but some of them I don't see there. So the question is it possible? Of course, the executive and the minister indicated a phased approach over 5 to 7 years, but from the British perspective, I want to know what are you going to do with this? This year to ensure that you implement it as well. What are you going to do with the outliers? And if you can't do it in the current cycle outside that. So maybe just a comment on that. Then the issues raised, I think, previously by the Auditor General in terms of Program 2 and 3, we'll come back to that, I think, in terms of the indicators. But even if we had what has come this year when the age is coming to the committee, are you taking that into account when you deal with your strategic approach in terms of your the development of your plan? The third comment is that for other opportunities and opportunities is the question of structure. I think we had one or two discussion opportunities regarding this structure. I think from the project of its side, you said we agree with the approach. But again, listening this morning, and that's just one question, and we have a response. In a perfect situation, if you say you've got your top management in the agencies and the provinces are working 100%, then you actually don't need an intervention here or intervention station. And I'm just asking that. Because we're adding now another layer, and I don't know what is now the number of the 10 people in the system. But the question is, if your structure is correct, if your placement is correct,
and I may be able to also explain the different regions, what their role vis-à-vis the provincial regions, what is the line of infection. Because it shouldn't seem they might be blurring off of lines at the end of the day, unless we understand the organic number correctly. So, to give us an indication of what's going to be the challenges, what is going to be the exact roles in terms of the provisions, so that we can understand that properly. That's the issue from my side.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, firstly, I want to start in making opening remarks and everything. I'm going to say that, yes, we receive all these good ideas in that. The question in the end will be, is it only in theory or in practice? I want to say to the commissioner and all the officers, I'm very excited about the Back to Basics program, because I think that is the core of where we have to start and put the police service. But I want to test the theory in practice today. Yes. And I'm going to do that by telling you what happened in a small police station like the Stilfontein. About a month ago, we caught four young boys damaging and stealing the election posters from the polls. When I arrived there, I realized maybe they were only mischievous or something like that. They were about 10 to 11 years old. And I said to myself, I'm not going to bother the police services with a charge of theft. That's all. When I got that age, I was a very naughty boy. Maybe I would have ended up in this. But I also realized that I can't just let them go. Because then you enhance crime in the end of it. I went to the police station. It was the Sunday afternoon. So when I arrived there, I asked for the ship commander. And I was very professionally received where you enter the police station. And then the person, the police person, took me to the ship commander. It's a captain. And she sat there and he brought me into her office. And it was also another person. She was talking to the person. And I'm telling you this story because on your slide number 40, you specifically refer to professionalism. Because that is part of the Back to Basics. She didn't recognize me. I was standing in front of her. Guys, calm and let them talk to me. And then I said, Captain, are you the ship commander? She said, yes. And I said, well, I caught four boys stealing and damaging our political posters. The first question there was, the first, I wasn't even finished. Are they black or white? That's the first question. And I said, well, it doesn't matter. And then a cell phone rang. And she spoke. And I could hear that it was a private conversation. And when she was finished, and it was not only for a couple of seconds, I've asked her, Captain, but wasn't that a private call? Yes, she said, because it's on my private cell phone. I said, but I'm actually busy with it. And I was really calm with her. And I said, but I want to come back. What does it matter whether I'm black or white? And I said, I want to talk to you that we not go further with it. And then the phone rang again. And she just spoke. And she spoke. Then I looked up. Now, Chairperson, I'm going to give the Commissioner or the Acting Commissioner or Commissioner, Acting Commissioner, the General, the name, the date, and everything. And I'm going to test in practice if we are serious when we talk about that question. Because I couldn't believe it. And that brings me actually to my question on your slide number 10, on the underreporting. On your victim of crime server, you say there is an under-reporting of crime. I received numerous complaints from the public
Russians but they go to the police station, we even read it in the media, and people say they report an incident, a crime incident, but then the police personally says, well, I'm not going to accept the complaint. In fact, we also read that some police men and women say, well, it's a civil incident, we're not going to report. And my question is, what are we doing about that situation where people report crime incidents but the police station doesn't want to take them and report it as an incident? Because that is why we have an under report of crime. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jefferson. And Honorable Criminal, I have been to my local police station, Arangua. I've seen professional happening in my eyes. I sometimes visit the police station at 1 o'clock at night during games when things are happening. I sit in the CSC. Funny is that, you know, just through options, I've seen professionalism happening there. I just wanted to say, keep it up. My first question is on the issue of corruption in such. It's that issue that keeps on really ahead from all quarters, you know. It is receiving more attention in this aspect today. My next one is on your vacant post on management. They are a lot, and I think if they can be filled, we'll be seeing more of good work. My question is, when will they give they are in at the services, divisional commissioner, country intelligence, human resource, crime intelligence, and so on, and so on and on. When will they be filled? Thank you.
Thank you very much, all of us. Honorable Ilanes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yes, I like Honorable Mulabasi, have been to Mabukwane and Luata police station. We share a board and I hope we can do the work together. I've seen incredible professionalism. Some of my concerns relate to the charges contained in the docket, but that's a matter for the National Prosecuting Authority to sort out. Just your comment, Chairperson, on the scheme thus far. I'm very encouraged by a well-informed research package document that gives us essentially the basic approach. I can see that it's not, at least, it's not just talk. It's informed by, for example, victims of crime children. It's informed by an honest assessment of the state of South African police service. And there are clear plans to do this. Now, how is this played up in all the indicators? We will see when we get to the indicators in late stage of the briefing. But for me, it is encouraging. And I hope and wish and trust that we will see this play out in the year ahead. And just in case, and without passing this question on the Honourable Kulab, he is fortunately protected by parliamentary privilege and immunity. He might have to answer for a case of illegal detention, as he has held a little boy in that matter.
You know.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just my quick opening comments is in relation to the elements of the management intervention schemes for units as part of the grant services strategy. I think like other members, I'm also quite excited about this because it leads to connection targeted mechanism for experience and creating, you know, financial coming issues as they come up. And I think the same
Very good question. I'm going to share the same sentiments you know, I went there and went and said, one of them, to go and get the general police. And this huge plane occasionally is coming from that coordination because of terrible abuse of men and women in blue. From that particular coordination. That's why I was worried about the car level of monitoring. Because you are not here, you are to. It is recorded here that civil change are part of the problem in the digital industry. But one gets that your person really, really, I must be very honest. It can't really be allowed. It certainly can't be allowed. It's so good that at least when one reads within 2 hours time that journalist can keep reading. Just because it's not exposing the abuse of taking place in that particular company of Phoenix Central. And then those people that use the police. So actually then go against the wishes of the people. No, it can't. It certainly can't. I will bring it into Georgia. From there on, have that, right? Of the message that journalists do this. Because I have said, the police said, give me the whole record upon which this particular journalist was arrested. Something very big in this way. Now, really, I think, Chapter 1 can get the level of monitoring. So that we want to, and I'm raising this because at times it's so uncoordinated that police end up being victims of criminals because criminals exploit this. Then you get police to get it for no obvious reasons because an eye of enemy or antagonism has been created by certain people who just want to abuse or own a criminal justice system for their own ends. You go to Brandon Court, you see exactly what I'm talking about at the National Committee. Often now locations that have been rejected by that particular court of Brandon Court because they carry lots of sense simply because people are trying their utmost best to abuse the criminal justice system. You can finish police cases. Things can be tolerated, really, really, really. Even at that level of monitoring, and that's why I think that I got one of the general telephone now, I got really, at what level I was getting monitoring of all these atrocities. I can't even talk about it last conversation because that's what we get. So if we get this, as we are already reporting like that, when it comes to property damage, where is this reporting? I think I was spoken about this. You know, when people look at their all that they got report and all that, definitely the only one to fight for that, people now don't bother about reporting these things, so they will tell you, oh, the, what you call this guy, dealing with the fingerprint unit, you call me, they flag up, they will start at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and they are told something else. And that's why then, the only one is correct in that particular is that. And it's understood because of the crime that they have. Because these people are few. And they will tell you. And then eventually then you get people nothing. What is going to be used for reporting this? On the course. But at times it creates a vicious cycle of entitlement in the community. Because people end up saying, I know who it is. And people take it on their own hands. Which thing that complicates the situation there. But I just wanted to raise this particular issue. If the money is made with the attention you can get, the level of monitoring, so, level of monitoring, well, so that at a level where it is possible, there is nothing that can happen below the laws of the leadership of police and the sectors. I think it will be far better than maybe which is taking place after a long time, then you get that leadership at a respectable level is very taking feedback of what is happening. When that thing that come completely out of it, that's very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I think it's hard to do with planning and prevention. Of course, the question is also, once upon a time, the Electric Inspector reported directly to the National Commission. That was acknowledged. The inspectorate at the end of the day was used as a holding position. The question is what will be the, and I mean that's what we're looking for, what will this innovation unit be practically? Chief Police Station still contains all the laws. You know, the annual situation where you get inspector reports, the next year it's the same issues. So, really, what is the factor that it's going to be to affect acting commissioner again?
Honourable Chair, Honourable Member, thanks very much. First of all, appreciation to be part of the presentation made and the issues that have been raised, which we believe that constructive image that will take us forward. I'll respond to some of this, and I'm going to ask in particular General Kula to talk a little bit on the management intervention, and also request the chair that at an opportune moment that a slot may be created for the management intervention concept to be presented in detail so that there is a common understanding of what it is that we expect out of that environment. I think that detailed presentation on the approach should be justice in bringing the honourable members on the same page with us as to what the expectations are. But in terms of the issues raised, the NDP-related issues, we will not necessarily have taken them up, all of them, in the plan, precisely because the Minister has established kind of expert some committees to deal with issues that are coming from the Maritime Commission of Inquiry, as well as some of the issues that are in the MP, issues related to transformation, digitalization, and so on. So if they are not found verbatim in the plan, it is just to allow the multidisciplinary teams that would have been constituted by the minister to do justice in processing those issues. And I think some timelines as to what is going to be taken care of in each year will then flow out of that particular process. We will, of course, look at the NDP because we believe that it is very critical. It outlines the vision of government, and it is saying to us there is going to be done as a department to get there. Honourable Chair, the issues that were raised either by the AG in terms of Program 2 and 3 will have been taken on board as part of the presentation. I think as we go along, particularly when we get to Program 2 and 3, we will talk to them. If the Chair believes that they are not adequately dealt with, I'll request that that be raised with us so that management information. Honourable Chair, if there is one thing that we find ourselves with is to have established management information. It is the wonders. I'm not yet 6 months in this position as an acting regional commissioner. You recall I was appointed the 14th of October, so the 14th is still coming. But when we look back at what we were able to achieve, we are very proud. And we attribute many of our achievements to that approach that we have taken and said there will be intervention. Honourable Chair, we recall that with the analysis that we did, we had identified 63 situations with chronic waves was not where management intervention teams that work. And the board chair recalled a project analysis amongst others. One issue that we knew very well that was an issue that the honourable members would have raised was the number of case dockets closed undetected. We wanted to understand then taking a few from the issues that the honourable members would have raised. And we at a common point in Ishan, because objects which were not supposed to have been closed were closed as undetected. With a management intervention, those dockets were scrutinized, the A1 statements were scrutinized in many instances. The detectives went on operations to effect arrests. If the Honorable Ambassador recalls from our last report, we said that at the time when we presented on Wednesday, we had reported 466 people arrested who would have escaped the law had the management intervention not went there to scrutinize the dockets and find that it is a problem of command and control. And we always raise this to the command and control. And the question is, who is it? It is us. It is a manager then who is not doing what they are supposed to be doing. It is out of that question that amongst others we developed and implemented the recovery plans, which recovery plans detail a commander must do day to day. And when the management intervention team goes to station, they look exactly at are you complying. We have said that we must move away from the practice of the inspector going to station or to provinces, finding out what is wrong, coming back compiling the position, we found the following wrong. We are saying the management intervention must go there and say what is it that is supposed to be happening at this level. Are you doing that, what you are not doing? If it is not done, what is it that is not being done? And what is it that is to be done? The situation, to get away, build capacity to make sure that those things are sustained. So that we can't have everyone, Honorable Chair, doing oversight. We can't have the portfolio committee doing oversight, the secretariat doing oversight, inspector is doing oversight. Who is going to be doing the work? Because at the end of the day, all those oversight reports comes back and say, we found the following done. Who at the end of the day must be the same person who is not doing? So the management intervention is a breach. And Honorable Chair and members, there are no blending of lines of responsibility between management intervention and the line manager. In actual terms, the management intervention team is never going to grow big because it draws the resources from line management. So if it is an investigation issue that is to be dealt with, General Cruiser will then source expertise from the detective services that constitute the team that goes to the station so that that could be dealt with. In terms of ground check, I think this establishment is worth anything. It is not big, it is not in our capacity. We actually have taken the very same inspectorate that has been there and reconfigured in a way that it will do justice. The regional commissioners who are there, General Mutiva, General Magdalena, in Association General Jessica, are people that have been in the States. All what he said is General Mutiva has, for example, immense experience from a disabled position perspective, drawing in the understanding. General Magdalena aids that has been there for ages, drawing in General Jaffa for the advantage of both operational and support. And I don't need to say much about General, if there is one that I think it was correct, is that of General Cruiser, who is a militant, went down in the Western Cape over the Texas field. They actually thought that they can look at the change here. And it was just bringing someone who is hands-on, who is going on the ground and leading the forces in the way that we are doing. And when management intervention works, everyone was talking about the northern problems or PD, drugs and so on. I think we are in there, we are in second week. There are no noises there in terms of killings. We have arrested that situation. We then said to General Cruiser and the team, you are going to intervene in that particular area. There is operating lockdown that has been launched, and it is thus far very successful. And in initiating management interventions, we don't necessarily require resources out of the police case. Of course, we move resources around, like the team which is there will be comprised of people coming from personnel and so on. But if they take targeted dealing with a specific problem there, we are going to El Dorado Park, we will be going to yesterday. Not that those, we are not only focusing on this, we are just saying there needs to be a response when there are issues that are beyond the level of a particular situation. I was, for example, called a day ago by, I think many honorable members will recall, she's among the president to El Dorado Park. And we continue to be working with them on the two things that you are doing to me. Thank you for having brought people from outside, because the allegations are more about the local police people. Which process will we embark upon to deal with that particular situation? So, Chair, I'm very pleased and I'm grateful that some of the work that we are doing, the results are being acknowledged and noted by the honorable members. So management intervention, if we were to close everything else and be left with management intervention, it is the way to go. But we will play briefly on the management intervention before I go into the other issues.
Thanks, General, and we'll share and remember here. As I said, I think we need assistance for you. I was just indicating you the guarantee that the Guinea equipment said you have 45 members of the results. That's the Guinea results. So it's going very well. T has we have some long intervention. The number T was going down next week to stick. Now we're now going to do the patients, not in the operations, fix the patients. Also we're having a workshop with the Metro. Their club must have been to our club in terms of social system, as I said, because what's here. Facilities, daycare, campus, all those things are done. So the policing approach is not just police, and that's been our project in terms of management. I would say that within the government time, what we are doing is we looked at our digital chain, and if we look at the functions pointed by the portfolio committee, the AE, internal audit, our own expected report, it gives us a massive case of change itself. And later that case of the change, the national needs internal controls in the organization, internal audit, but they do. Compliance orders. We took the operational internal control. Now we have the ability to operation level and fix the problems while we intervene. I can just say the way with reports. We have computerized our reports. I'll say those on there with this computer. That report generates an index rating in terms of where the station is, and that's automatic without the ticket report. Based on that ticket rating, we know what sort of intervention we need. Is it a bigger intervention? Or just for the local ministry to respond and control. So the integration will tell us how the detection function, how the tracking function, how the support function. Also the keys mentioned in this report are part of the integration. So it's generated by a computer itself in terms of how to do the index report, what the status of every station of the report. And it is much easier about the internal, because no one reads the big report, so there's no report. It's a few pages on the document and it's a lot of the computer with the rating itself. Which we then give to the regional commissioners, and they might decide of actually in terms of how we've been corrected. The members on the ground, we start those things in case in some stations at Valencia and other places. The members are very excited on the ground. I mean, we can take this loudly. They're excited with the type of approach we're having. They're not just bashing them for what's wrong, but saying, what can we do to assist with the community to start? So it's possibly from the members itself. As I said, we can talk about unless you want more, we can have a time slot to really present to you what is our role in this and successes we have really in this your time.
Is very excited. I'm very excited because I think there is a feeling amongst us that we are doing that with the conditions we want from us. I think the Norani said we are not perfect. We are but the lady can't read in the questions with these things, but we are prepared to learn from those mistakes that we are making. I really would appreciate the details as the Honorable Member promised, so that we can go into that particular matter. One of those things that we have taught teaching is find this home in management and supervision discipline factors, which if we have done everything as a mistake, then we have to change the discipline pattern is the same that the net environment to be in this matters. And we find, as you presented, we went over this. And I think our view was this was the best approach we could have adopted, approach to the province system of having a top 1500. In each province, on average, we address 700 people, who are commanders on all levels. So we have a huge challenge. One thing that we are making clear to them is that we are not going to be apologetic in ensuring that commission is education. Each and every one of us must take responsibility for the areas that we are managing. As we go around, when I'm home and I hear police there, I'll stop there. I would mind to know where is your appointment is taking. I think from time to time when I go to the gym, I get to the gym trying to present my gym card. By mistake, I present someone's appointment to this day because as I consistently them, I present to my dad and I will say to the commander, he has to be notified. Pocketbook. Honorable members have made observations that people don't make entries in their pocketbook. It is true. I mean, how do you have someone who would have reported off duty Sunday last week? The question is today, or this second day, when the public book entry is not being made. Because that public book, you are supposed to be recording, I'm now recording on YouTube, someone nationally, I am posted either as a venue or I'm in the CSC, if I go and visit the cell, an entry must be made. If I get an arrest, an entry must be made. So those are the basics that we want to inculcate in the members. They must make sure that they do that which we were taught. Just yesterday I was at the union building attending the JCPS meeting and I'm talking to a senior constable there because the day before I was there I had to summon general going and them to go there. The ladies, if you find them with these funny hands with different hammers, tell them to remove those hands. It's not supposed. This is not a place where we do fashion parades. No, they must look like those people because that's what we joined. We all signed a code. So I find people with two-tone hands. So I call the general and say, you need to come here and do that. So this member yesterday was saying, thank you, Lena. For a change, there are people who are coming to check whether we still remember that what we were taught. And I think it is very important because it's about the image. When you go to the police station on the ground, you will want to make a sense that this is an institution of government. There's a level of professionalism here you would want to engage with this work. We will still have some of these instances, but we will appreciate either take the registration number or take the name of a person, and you are not committing any crime if you see that member, even if he or she is uniform, to say, present to me your appointment certificate. Because who knows, the person may be wearing a uniform, is a same police person. So appointment certificate so that we are able to communicate those details. So we appreciate those observations, even if it is something negative. We must go and correct. It might be very useful, but we can do something about the issue of numerous complaints, police not accepting such complaints. Again, where it is happening, it is important that we maybe have some change. We may have to create a mechanism where, for example, if they can't just join as a local station, where Maldosi is being communicated, because it will be the last one that come across me or come across an honorable member to say, but the police are not assisting in this regard. We will just elevate the mechanism in this regard. Honorable member, thank you very much for the observation today in respect of harangu among others. And I appreciate when we got the call sent to me about management challenges at the plaza at that particular station, which we immediately attended to, and very appreciate the feedback that it is going well. The issue of corruption, we have them running time. We have been saying that we need to establish anti-corruption capacity within the police. Yes, there is capacity located within the host to deal with us, but I think because if we recall, the mandate of the host talks more about civil corruption, serious crimes and so on. We have learned to locate a directory within the city's environment to deal with issues of humanity. At the same time, we are grateful of the way that is done by the ICIC in investigating allegations of corruption, that we will implement the recommendations flowing out of the particular process. In as far as the election polls are concerned, Honorable Chair, I think we are doing better in terms of the flow of this point, and I hold the record of making sure that the point is advertised within a month. Just Monday, I think the other year, we have advertised the provincial commissioner of the COPO. If you were to ask me on the 10th of May when to do, I'll tell you who the candidate is that will also find that particular approach, and this is a process that we do engaging, you know, the MEC's opinions, the participation, the things that is going well. Just to maybe do a correction, generally initiate the crime intelligence station. Remember, we remain with the general duties attendant, so that function is not actually the issue. That's why we have got an 18 incumbent in that regard. The forensic services only can be here because the incumbent is 18 and the national commissioner. So if I were to feel it, I'm dismissing myself because the one who comes after me will be saying, but there's no reason for, so you must get something. So it's an element of caution. The management advisory services, we will see this at the opportune moment. Which one? Counterintelligence. I think the general indicated that there is some work which is begun just to finalize and get to the compliance issues that the Honorable Bede has raised. We have two, there's HRU, Human Resource Utilization, is also a post which was re-established, which we are looking at. So slowly we will be able to fill all of them with time.
There's also that somebody on those two should just two photographs. Short the National Management Advisory Service. Maybe you can just again recap for the committee. What will be the main functions of that person, the civilian special advisor? And then also the issue of counterintelligence. Said you are busy developing the necessary documents and approvals, but I don't know the scope of that divisional commission working. That's also currently being developed, and then there is also obstacles for the current study. Thank you.
Thanks so much. In terms of management intervention, in that environment, we have communications and management, which is a major agenda. we have marketing line to achieve that. We have strategic management. We have organizational development. We have project product management. So it's five major generals who, if we were not to have the aid there at the level of the lieutenant general, they would all have to put their directives to the national commission. And it's not necessarily a new post per se. You recall we had during General Service time a chief operations officer. So it's a post that is existing, but we have reconfigured that policy in terms of the responsibility and focus of that particular post. In terms of the counterintelligence, Honorable Chair, the scoping is being done, but there is going to be a relocation of some functions that are currently located between current intelligence. Remember, counterintelligence is currently in that particular environment, so it is a scoping to delineate those responsibilities.
Thank you for that.
Honorable Vietnamese, I note that appreciation your acknowledgement of the way which is being done, and we will ensure that this what we are presenting are not just claims at an academic level. These claims need to be translated into action. What they have done, Chair, which we are grateful for. We accepted the decision in the association and the provinces. Do not just go and say, when we present to you program one, you don't just go there and cut and say, this is what is my plan. We want to know, how are you going to implement that which is sitting there in program one? How, if you are the additional commissioner, visible commission, how are you going to make sure that which is in program two get implemented. So we are really looking at apportioning the responsibility, making sure that there is defense very clear of how everything is going to be implemented, and making sure that we are able to measure it, because this is what is going to happen. Because they have to come back and do accounts, just like our becoming from the committee to account broadly as an organization. They must have accounted, whether as a province or as a division, on how the resources that were allocated to the government get to that. And we need to see tangible results in that. I have noted what Honorable Bennett said in terms of the response from the Provincial Commissioner of Peking, which is very, very encouraging. In terms of the structure, there is full compliance. Just want to remind members of honorable members that the determination of structures of the government of is a competence that aligns with the national government, not with the state. What we do, of course, we will take cue from the directives of the DPSA. For example, any county which is on level 9 and higher must be contacted before it is sealed to determine whether the weight justifies the post at the level at which it is. And we are not feeding post level 9 and up without ensuring that compliance. So there are systems in place to make sure that the debt which is dedicated broadly for the public service is in compliance with and more in this particular environment. And as you recall, honorable members, we went through a process in terms of the structure, that's why we are implementing. We were able to engage in our social partner in this network on the thinking which went into that. It was an off the record meeting because there was that process which we have to extend of the threat of LTC, but I felt that it's important that we engage and try to find each other on the structure. And that's why implementation is caused we have the challenges.
Sorry, no, Commissioner, I think that's the Commissioner. I'm going to stop here for 10 minutes. See, there's good news. Parliament is not facing the private sector. So there should be enough cups for a baby. Because we had the problem last time in Bhutto, but I don't really remember. So we're going to take a 10 minute deep break and then come back to the further responses for that. Thank you very
Yeah. So we just wanted to highlight and hopefully
with the way that we are doing could be able to turn the situation around. We have already seen, Honourable Member will recall, when we presented our annual report at some point, a detective program, program C, was a waste of public program. Detectives had only identified of the, how many insects? 15 insects. The situation has held around since we started the management in September of the third quarter. We will not have achieved everything else except one. So it has been a clear turnaround. Even in those lines where we did not achieve, we have seen the percentage going up in terms of performance. We really made that visible there. So this was just to say there are these areas that require special attention and they will deserve improvement. And we agree, you must not just achieve what you are not going to be able to achieve. Among others, it informs the review where we say remove to that particular level or introduce this one. Because why do you want to say you are going to run a marathon? Why do you not even run 5 kilometers? You don't even know what a marathon feels like to run. So we are beginning to say ourselves, we can't change everything, but there are certain areas where we must review. And the review that we will present with the indicator going forward will show those areas where we thought that they need to be improved. I'll appreciate from Honourable Commission the report on the police, police station and attention notes of Umlan. Among others, what is happening also in the government, especially the PCC responsible for management intervention is missing in the ears. It's one of those that we will need to hit in this budget. The intention is that they have already been done in this situation. But don't say the main issue is for us. Another question, I think you are taking care of the issues that were raised in the business model that we have
had to make. Thank you, Gino.
In fact, you know, we are not much of a theoretical person. I like to be. So far, what the national leadership is supposed to police done, when I interact with members, fortunately I attended a number of regional guys from the grammar schools in my area of New Lenders. They were very high folks, and the morale seems to be getting up quite strongly. And I think the national leadership commissioner is supposed to really. People out there, members of the commission, have got very high hopes. And they have full confidence in the leadership. They raise a lot of hopes, and I don't think that they need to be disappointed down the line. I think we need to keep that morale very high, and also very cool that the guy on the party that has been continuously threatened to the community seems to be very pathetic, not the family speaking to push down some house and all that. So it can that can be kept at that level. So I think it's very good.
Thank you, Honourable Miller. States received, colleagues, we need to receive on this the budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Justice. Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. We are now starting on this slide number 32. Just a short indication of what we are intending to do and what we members of the committee also have some deeper action on some of the order figures that was published 3 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, where we indicated certain prioritizations on the budget. So, in short, we will look at the E&D, we will look at the campaigns, we will look at the summary of the budget pages, and then we will go to the programs and sub-programs and also refer the elements to those we are. If we can do the first slide, so to speak. Okay, Ladies and gentlemen, as we are building relationships, it's very much appropriate to also discard the relationships of our budgetary cycle as well. And it's so important to also reflect to the sources that represent the plans of the SADH as well as the funding linked to these assets. Now, what's on the slide there is actually a reference to the strategic plan, the ATP, the EMP, and then also to the financial appropriation should Parliament deem it necessary to vote the funds to us at the end of the day. Now, we all know that the strategic plan is a precursor for your annual performance plan, and your annual performance plan is a link to your EMP. And this is very much important also because of as we see in conjunction with one another in this regard. That is, the ATP sets out what SAPS is intended to do with performance indicators and then the budget and leads to those aspects. And at the end of the day, always important to remember that in the SAPS instance, although we are highly decentralized, the single department, the single vote, and the appropriation takes place in accordance with the programs as well as with the community classification. We then move to the following slide, the triple amount for the votes. Now, on first appearance, it looks like a very simple slide. There's one amount after the other. But I suppose because we're in the private sector, when we talk about bottom line, such as cost and net profit, the fact of the matter is in this regard, it is important to look at the funding level first, the amount, monetary values, and then also the vote rates, so to speak. Now we have there an 8-year period, and the average annual increase from 1230 to 1516 was 6.3%. The average annual increase from 1516 to the next 4 years, the coming 4 years, to 1890 is 6.6%. Very similar, a 0.3% difference in terms of the multi-year period. Now, please remember, and to some instances, certain analysts also in the private sector are doing the analysis based on real costs, not necessarily nominal costs. This is a nominal budget. The government is a nominal budget. You can discount it against inflation indicator, such as the indicator in the budget review of 6.6%. Is actually over the period used as a rolling budget based on real terms, on nominal terms of your CCTs. The fact of the matter is we are performing nominal budgets, and it is important to look at the intensity levels as well as the growth rates. I do not want to say the angels here today, but I see the third year is 92.9, so if the economy grows and if we have similar increases in the next one or two cycles, we can keep underpinning for the first time as a monster of the party, not as an industry or as a cluster of the party, so to speak, but we can keep underpinning with this regard. So, the bottom line is this will become the revenue that's voted by Parliament from our income statement at the end of the financial year when we compile the annual financial statements. And we will extend in terms of these appropriations all the restrictions and for tax dollars and all earmarkings and all specific and exclusively appropriated for certain specific issues such as compensation or such as the enhancement of the capacities as compost and so forth, we will spend in accordance with this. So this slide indicates funding levels and then obviously also growth rates in this regard. If we then move to the next one. This is a very important slide in the sense that we always say it, and I think we should just make it iterate again a little bit, also looking at what is the budget program structure. And if you look at the budget program structure, it's actually a link between the SAS objectives and operational budget, and that is the program structure. It reflects the main areas, functions of responsibility according to each the department will extend these COVID funds. And it hasn't changed majestically from year on year because you have to operate within your mandate. And within the mandate you have different high level functions and lower level functions which are then funded and for which performance indicators exist for us and oversight bodies like yourself to keep track of. But before I go into the growth rates, I'm actually going to do another slide first, which is an overview. I'm taking it as introduction. Now this slide, Mr. Honourable, we had actually intentions presented to you 3 weeks ago. But we cannot look at the growth rates, just the margin, and the funding levels of the programs in the let me just calculate with this. And this is very important. Based on the sessions over the medium term, growth from 76.7 billion in 2015 to 92.9 billion in 2018-19 at an average rate of 6.6%, which is referred to. The baseline allocations over the period, so here's coming into your period, have been amended and to the following extent. There were approvable reductions of the baselines of the department amounting to 4.735 billion over the medium term period. It does not mean that we have reductions in our baselines, it means growth is slower, is lower. And what does it consist of? It consists of the question of employees' budget to the value of 800 million and 1617, 1.5 billion in 1718, and 1.4 billion in 1890. That is for the economic classification item of compensation. And we will elaborate a little bit more. Then also on goods and services, 803 million in total, of which in the first year, the last sentence, 803 million, then it reduces to 302 million and gets to 225. You will see compensation reductions increases and goods and services decreases. And then also the IJS baseline has just been reduced by 50 million, which the impact is small. Be that as it may, before I go to the next slide, members will remember that last year when we presented the EAP, we also had similar kind of reductions. But then in the monies were handed back to the chefs, especially for machinery and equipment. Remember that we had a reduction in year 1 and 2 of the previous NTF, and then a significant increase in year 3, again when monies were added back for machinery equipment, mainly vehicles. Now remember, year 3 became year 2. If we then go to the slides, what we need to see that administration increases to the first year of the new EMP NTF to 5.7%, then 6.3% and 6.1%. And I'm now focusing on the growth rate. Visible policing was 5.8%, then 8.7%, then 6.7%. Detective services was 7.5%, then 6.6%. Crime intelligence was 6.5%, 6.3%, and then 6.1%. Protection security services was 7.4%, 4.4%, 6.8%, and then in total, the 5.6% increase when we send going to 7.7% and then to 6.5%. I might turn it into the slide, but I'm now going to include a slide which specifically was also requested by the National Commission. Those rates of change, not funding levels, are now reflected per program for the last 3 years in this department. Therefore, we've taken the figures, the numerical figures, and we have barcoded it, so to speak. We put it in a graph. This is not the levels of funding, it's the rates of change, the current rates year on year. If we look at program 1, in cases it remains this 5.7, it goes up to 6.3 and then 6.1 again. But it's basically similar. program 2, the growth rate for visible policy and mortgage sub-programs increases with 5.8% in year 1, 16-17, the year we are in, then 8.7, and then again based on that 6.7 again. Then similar trend you will find in program 3, detective services. Program 4 remains somewhat constant, just in excess of 6%, and then you will get also program 5. Now immediately a member will ask the variances, the red columns for program 2 and 3 in 17-18, because those are the variances. I just say to members that when we presented to you last year, we said that we had decreases in our growth for the first two years of the previous MTA, with a significant add-back for vehicles, machinery, equipment in the third year. Now the third year is now that second year, and those are for vehicles and machinery, which you will now see the red columns, 17-18. I hope I make myself clear in this regard that those are. If you go to the EMT on page 408, you will immediately see that for machinery and equipment, both for those who very important programs, to serve the purpose of the main arteries, the main four functions of the police that actually suits us. Those are also capital questions, meaning contributes to growth in job creation. It's not just on social expenditure, it's capital expenditure. In that year too, just not for the vote, in program 2 alone, because of the aspect of the money that we just took away in earlier years, we go from 874 from vehicles from first fall to 1.7 million. In technical services, we go from 677 million for machinery equipment to 947 million. So we thank you for it, we appreciate it, and we must not take it away, but this is the explanation of two red columns of 7 to 8. The other growths are actually normal of nature. If you then also look at the 4.3% this year for the detective, which then becomes 7.5%, the blue column, which is pointed out to members, is that column. For those I have just explained, those two variances I just explained, engineering equipment and so on. If we then look at the detective services, if we go to the sub-programs as well in the EMT, it's a little bit lower, but not for crime detection or the old general detectives. Not so the DPCI, we haven't touched their money, they have seen the Jackie and his PMR. Also not for the criminal record center, but for forensic services of that. Why? The funding level, including CJS, is already very adequate in this regard. So it's not for the other detectives. So I've just explained the 4.3, which then shoots up to 7.5 for the program. But if you look at the sub-programs, it was not for anything else, but for a sub-program where your funding level is already very adequate. Then, basically, program 4 is grown by 6.5, then on that 6.5, another 6.3, then on that 6.3, another 6.3, and then program 5, PSS. PSS obviously is also for capital, and then also machinery and equipment in this regard, and then subsequently a 4.4. Now if we also again go back to the figures, we will immediately from the bar chart move it to the tier, which is the bar chart is just a reflection, a graphical reflection of the figures. See that happened 5.7, visible policing 5.8. Before I go to visible policing, I remember visible policing is already 50% of the load. So I see one can say that eventually we're putting our money to our mouths off in this regard as well, because not that, but also of the way, so to speak. Administration is a program with sub-programs and elements that are similar in the public service. But in your service departments, and especially the police members, that remember the policy, it differs significantly from a policy department, such as for police, the DPSA, or maybe other policy departments that you might find. The reason being, under program 1, there is significant enabling processes. Because we are personnel intensive, and because of the nature of the item, weapon purchases are taking place in program one in a centralized manner from whoever. It's a very controlled environment. The same with ammunition, the same with clothing, and also to a large extent because of the CETA model with CETA. So there are certain aspects that we prepare under program one for the other programs in this regard. So from our side, we're quite happy that the funding levels there are to the benefit of the other four, except the personnel and maybe minimal goods and services that are also reflected under the programs of the scheme. Ladies and gentlemen, we received reductions as I indicated in my first slide on compensation, on goods and services, and then also a small one on UCJs. We had to absorb it. We had to absorb them in a manner that had the least impact or therefore no impact on priorities such as eventually personal policy, even detectives, including the crime, including the CJS. Those are all NDP priorities, such as the CJS, very prominent CJS NDP priority, and then also to other services. The fact that one has priorities does not mean other functions will not involve, as we said before. We must still execute other functions. It is just that the priority receive more focus, receive more attention, and even more funding where appropriate. If I then go back, my indications, program one, holding scenario, program two, the red column or the blue column because of more vehicles and machinery equipment. Program three, the same thing. Program four, the growth rates are very similar of neighbor. And then program five, I've also explained it, that there's also machinery equipment and there's a few other smaller items as well in the PSS environment. We do have to provide hacking and DID services, protection services. If I can move a little bit forward, I think we've already done that one of those reflect the reductions. Because from the reductions on the baselines, one has to apportion. Now what? That was spending policy direction here, and these ladies and gentlemen, these are not all, these are basically prominent assets which have been indicated previously, also by the PCOP, it's in our APP, and now it's in our strategic plan and so forth. We say this in focus and medium term will be on addressing the current establishment. Professionalizing the police machines development, we spend significant amounts directly and indirectly on human resource development. Continued strengthening of the criminal justice system by contributing to the criminal justice sector revamp and modernization program and investing in technical assets consisting of machinery and equipment. And then we just elaborate a little bit more. And we say these activities support the JCPS cluster objective of creating safer communities and towards ensuring that people in South Africa are and feel safe. More specifically, it will include implementation of integrated CJS to ensure a single coordinated management of criminal justice and performance, focusing on the funding of oriented services and border detective service from SAS to enhance crime and investigation. Remember that CJS is now, to a large extent, from a technological point of view or an operational point of view, is supporting the crime scene management, and the National Commissioner can explain much better than I do, that forensic criminal record center environment. Provision for equipment and training for detectives, part of that amount also just for training for detectives, to enhance the process of investigation of crime, maintain a capacity that allows for interventions through external deployment, especially in the ORS environments, investment in capital equipment in support of basic policing services such as vehicles and critical items. I think by, as reflected in the ENT, we can make a statement also that, especially over the medium term, we are going to enhance, in, especially in year 2 and 3, that equivalent to the scientific nature. Also maintaining our fixed wing aircraft and as complex, including the procurement of requisite physical resources, policing of major events, that's still coming also the LCD, and remember we see in terms of major events such as the local government elections, we will fund it, the security thereof. Although we didn't receive one rand of that address, we made provision as we said to this committee. Then also purchasing of all critical equipment, such as firearms, ammunition and clothing. Community outreach programs, we have to interact with our society, with communities out there. In these are community-based development programs as well, which they also see the local government elections, and then the strengthening of the resource capacity of public order policing units and the police incidents of public disorder over the next few years. In this regard, we will, apart from the normal baseline, provide 30 million in year 1, but then significantly in year 2, the amount on top of baseline earmarked for fall is 242 million. The amount in year 3 earmarked for fall on top of the current baseline is 335 million. Remember, we brought it to it during our previous meeting 3 weeks ago. And if there are questions surrounding this aspect, I would actually recommend it. I do have the list with me, but can we wait until this afternoon when the OIS people are back from the school? I think that's very important. So if they can provide context, it's a list of 75. I can start financial year with different contested levels. Obviously, they can still change a bit here and there, but they've done some planning, but there has to be a final sign off, especially in year 2 and 3, to say this is what we're going to buy. Because there's things such as recordings, cameras, even the new vehicles that we're making our way about, will be a great protection spread by the in terms of this aspect. In terms of the economic application, it is a price on waste, not growth waste. Previously we dealt with growth waste. These are waste. That means the weight carries in the total amount for the goods. And although it is not a performance indicator per se, we do not forget it. It's still included, we still monitor it, it's still reflected. And members will see basically that the compensation is sharing 6.6% against all our operations, which will then be, 23.4%. It's a little bit higher than previously, but remember we took the 800 million off reduction of the growth in business services. So that implies that in the current financial year, your ratio then goes a little bit up for compensation versus the other operational expenses, because with the other operational expenses, the goods and services are now smaller way. This is just to indicate, so we wish it is labor intention, it's personality intention, it's human resource intention. But I think we can track with this quite adequately in order to say that we shall then also have the requisite critical items, the tools for our people. If we look then at the economic classification, remember the previous one was a program, sub-program classification, the economic classification which reflects goods and services, then one will see the following, compensation of employees and the current payments, 6.5, 6.6, 6.7%, there's the goods and services one, 2.1 we have to take it. Budget cut was introduced 2.1%, then 5.8 and 5.5. grants and subsidies, one cannot really measure on growth rates per se because of the fact that it is unrecorded payments, so to speak, not necessarily always occurring of nature, and it's 0.9, basically, if they're constant, and then we actually increase between the 6.1 and the 6% again, and with the payment for capital assets. Then we add machinery and equipment of firstly buildings and construction, 5.3%, and then a 40.2%, a 5% increase, and then a 5.8%. We can explain to these members. Remember what we discussed earlier when you said the machinery on your buildings is in variance, 40.2%. Because your machinery equipment, which were previously in year 3, will now be year 2, where they added back the money they took in previous years. So we have about 59% increase in machinery equipment going back to previous levels in a previous empty year cycle where they give back the money. And those monies, proportionate, will then go mainly to fiscal and defects in order to uplift the machinery equipment specific position. I don't know whether this is remember it, but it was presented to this committee. And that suits us. Actually, that suits us because we will then also be able, in all probability, to grow it even further. So we actually, that gets voted as if we will be highly appreciated in this regard. Then just give members an indication of our waste compensation magnitude. 76% of the total amount of all the food. 62 billion of that goes to compensation. So, 62 billion of the 2017, the 80 billion goes to compensation. There it is. So there is 62 billion. But let's look at this. Let's look at what it was still talking about categories. The weight of basic salaries, pensions, bonus, pension contributions, bonuses, cost of living, enlistment, by the way, we received the cost of living letter from the GPSA. Enlistment, shares, foods, etc. There's a number of small items in the compensation line which you reflect as the weight of the 50 billion. Then all your allowance, danger allowances, and so forth. Service allowances, 1.8 million. Our overtime, 605 million, which I think is still relatively small for the major event increase. Then rent and housing allowance based on the new CSCDC negotiations, where the housing allowances will increase, 2.185 million. And then the medical fees, formed as well as James for the public service tax personnel, 7.071 billion. All in all, 62 billion of the 80 billion goes to compensation. We deemed it appropriate to make some general notes. And we say that the public spending over the medium term will be in relation to the four programs that we see more than 50% weight of the total of the 60% of the program. And I think members are getting physical policing main is like a portal for police to a large extent. The detective service in terms of weight is also such a big portion of 21%. Compensation of employees will remain the largest driver of spending, constituting nearly 77% around the dollar. Of this total budget for 67% to provide for remuneration costs and personnel numbers over the period. Qualified to say 198.042 from 2015 onwards, subject to the latest to be announced by the Ministers of Finance and Public Service and Administration to manage personnel expenditure and develop tools to assist departments to reduce personnel numbers from 1718 and 1819. Now, there is no finalization of this yet, Honourable Members of the Committee. It's a process going forward. You see three allocation letters from our principals. And the third one was so close to submission of the EN printing and submission of the EN to Parliament that they said, just put the biggest thing to them, we will engage in the year to come, and we shall definitely engage also to train our personnel members as far as possible, and that policy is subject to the National Police eventually. And then the new entity has already started to do. Now, for these are the nature. So, we say that I have improved our compensation expenses, but we still retain that, and also written based on the previous appearance here before members, we also written to you a letter, which I suppose will be available to you in the future. We put it with Jackie to provide more context in this regard, and that's what we need to assign to them in this regard. Then also, operation expenses include breaches, service, transfer payments, available for capital assets, total 23,670. Alright, and with that big jump we have, a big increase we have next year, we will again move that percentage up because of that add back for the capital increases in senior equipment, and then we just say the current rate for both from 1360 to 1670 is 5.6%. Let me go into the different programs. Now, Chairperson, I've taken some time in order to provide context in terms of the previous slides. I think I will just quickly refer to the sub-programs here and maybe not to each and every element that you find within a sub-program, except maybe program 1, 2, and 3, some of it. And please put your programs on the fast or slow. Fast. That's what we should say about. Then, if we look Program 1 and sub-programs, here you have the ministry, you have management, you have corporate services, which consists of a number of other elements, and then you have the Supreme Secretariat, and say the following. The Supreme Secretariat, second level, for which as a designated department is reflected as a transfer payment of the police accounting for 111 million in 2016. If this transfer money, they are a separate independent entity. Corporate services consist inter alia of human resource development, as my daily do spend in terms of our training and development of our personnel, because we are 70% of our budget is for personnel. So we develop those people. We spend 2.06 billion, technology management of all the systems from there right to up to corporate, 2.9 billion, supply chain management of all the stores, the clothing, the ammo, the weapons, and whatever. 3.8 billion, of which 1.051 billion is for capital works. Human resource management 1.317 billion. Financial services 893 and corporate support 1.075 billion. Significant funding levels, especially for the CJS revamp initiative, 083 billion, 834 million for. In other words, for the IT portion, led under program 3, technical services. Then we also have IT engineering, 340 million, and hosting and network infrastructure upgrades within the TNS environment. If we then go to program 2, thirdly, is 4 sub-programs, there's a facility portion that's there, under that sub-program, but then like the user charges and those kind of expenses. The three main ones, in terms of line function is crime prevention, border security, and specialized interventions. And we can say the biggest program in the Department of Labor is 50.2%. It includes crime prevention, 27.7 billion, rail police, canine units, comfort police, youth, children, and gender-based violence, finding support, detained persons, etc., on which the following budgets are estimated to be expended. Border security in 24 of the entry 1.846 billion, and then specialized interventions in our ordinary land support, include special task force, OIS, special task force, national intervention unit, NIU, PRTs, and then also 0.57 billion, and then also the facility value. If I then move to the next question,
is that 10 years announced today, this is our job.